Some interesting job numbers out today. 227,000 jobs in January is what they're putting out. Unemployment rate unchanged at 4.8%. And when I saw this, I'm going, you know, I'm sure the Trump administration goes, hey, see, it was us. Because they actually increased 5,000 manufacturing jobs in the month as well. But I'm going, you know, where's the Trump people going, unemployment's 30%, unemployment's 50%, half the country's not working, get those kids out of school and get them to work. Where's that? I'm sure they're very happy that the 4.8 number is there so that they don't have to argue back about it. But here's the thing. I'm watching CNN last night, and I'm watching the Robert Reich guy, whom I generally like. Wasn't a huge fan of his while he was in the Clinton administration, but because he was a free trader. Loved watching him defend NAFTA. One of the few things I agree with President Trump on is our insane trade policies. And it's interesting to watch the neoliberals and the far left defend NAFTA. So I thought it'd be an interesting conversation around, you know, what's reality? That's why we've asked our good friend Mateus Vernango, professor of economics at Bucknell University, also a fantastic blogger over at nakedkeynesianism.blogspot.com. Mateus, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, thank you for having me.
So I'm watching, you know, Robert Reich last night, and he's full-throated defense of NAFTA, that all the jobs we lost are because of automation, which I'm not arguing that we didn't lose jobs because of automation. But NAFTA has, in my view, had a really negative effect. Am I wrong?
So I haven't looked at recent research on this, but I remember a few years back, and I think this maybe a decade ago, so it might be old, but I remember it was work done by Josh Bivens, who now is the chief economist at the Economic Policy Institute at the EPI. And I remember, you know, vaguely talking with him about that, and I think he suggested that about one-third of the decrease, more than jobs, it was, normally, because you can always do fiscal and monetary policy and get to, 4.8%. So we don't have very high unemployment. What we do have is the quality of the jobs and the pay is very low.
So right.
You lost a good manufacturing job and you got a job flipping burgers or something along those lines. And so the impact, normally they tend to look at what happens with wages. And if I recall correctly, about a third of the decrease, in wages, so the stagnation of wages was caused by NAFTA and by trade deals, so to speak. Other things were sort of important too, decreasing unionization, which is not disconnected to trade, automation certainly, and so on and so forth. So there are several things that in play in something like this, but certainly trade deals have had an impact. I wouldn't disagree with you. I would say about Robert Reich, you said that I didn't see him yesterday. And Reich, I should say, had a more nuanced view of trade back in the 90s. He was in the Clinton administration, but if you go back, to what people used to write in the 90s, he and Laura Tyson, who also can be, Laura Tyson more than Reich, can be seen as a neoliberal sort of Democrat. They were seen as people that were critical of free trade policies, that were even though they were critical of trade policies, they were still within the Clinton administration. So they were not Krugman, say. So Krugman actually was sort of, and always remained one of those Democrats that saw free trade as being always, an unmitigatingly good thing, so that it always benefits everybody and so on and so forth.
Right.
I'm a bit surprised when you said that. I said, "Oh, I missed that one." I'm surprised, and I think that's a danger. It's one of the things we talked is this notion that if Trump does it, it means it's a terrible thing, and that's why we have several people here in Pennsylvania in those working class places, manufacturing, places that have been, destroyed by trade deals and whatnot, that voted for Trump. So not understanding that, it's a huge mistake for Democrats.
Right, and that's the reason I brought it up, Mateus, because what Reich was saying is, look, you know, automation cost these jobs. It wasn't these trade deals. And you go into these communities and you talk to folks, and this is what Trump, and, you know, give the, you know, the blind squirrel credit for finding the nut. He tapped into the anger and the very real understanding that you go to these communities, and it has been the trade deals where these jobs, we know where the jobs are, they left.
Sure, yeah, they did that. So and those are visible there. So, yeah, it's a steel mill that closed, and the jobs went to whatever, China, it's a, you know, parts, you know, auto parts company that left, and it's in Mexico. So, yeah, those things happen, and people know those. So that's absolutely true.
Yeah, so, you know, at the end of it, I just found it interesting that Reich was pushing this, but he also hit a couple of other things. The side agreements, you know, were part of it. You know, the labor and environmental standards that he said need to be renegotiated, because evidently, you know, there's and both the Reich and the guy that he was talking to, who was on the, you know, the free market side of it, were saying, look, there are opportunities to renegotiate parts of NAFTA that will make it better. I don't know that we can scrap the whole thing, but I'm certain there are ways that we could probably make it better.
Well, that's the other thing about this, you know, this first weeks of the Trump administration, that it's sort of incredibly causing. So, first, you still have the recovery. This comes from the recovery that these people have sort of said was horrible and terrible, as you said. The broader measure of unemployment, the one that includes, you know, people that are discouraged and, you know, marginally attached, want to work more but can't, have part-time jobs, it's 9.4. So it actually went up. Both went a little bit up, the unemployment rate, but that's a good sort of news. You know, part of the story is that more people are looking for jobs. So there seems to be a little bit of optimism. But what I'm concerned is that it's very unclear what Trump is going to do with trade. Yeah, you know, if he's really going to renegotiate anything. I mean, he did, you know, he's not signing TPP, so we know we're not signing anymore, but just, you know, not signing doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to get manufacturing jobs back. And there are other things, you know, in monetary policy. So he has, everybody's talking, this week was the week of Gorsuch and Supreme Court, but he has two vacancies in the Fed, in the Federal Open Market Committee. And it seems, you know, I've been reading that he wants to appoint two hawks that, you know, are concerned with inflation and that want to increase the interest rate. So which would be terrible news, and also somewhat surprising, you know, if he thinks the economy has high unemployment and you know, or thought so, and that we should stimulate the economy and have a big fiscal package. And then the fiscal package, we talk and talk, but the only talk that I hear is about this tax cuts and a possible VAT and a sales tax, which is very regressive and hence doesn't stimulate the economy that much. And I haven't heard anything about the big infrastructure spending. I'm hearing of cutting, you know, if you look at this jobs report, for example, the government, the federal government, continues to be a drag. You know, there's less and less federal jobs. So we're not increasing the size of employment. The government is not helping reduce unemployment from that point of view.
Right. We're actually making it worse because you've got this federal freeze going on.
Exactly. So all of this gets me, you know, a little bit concerned that I remember telling you, I don't think the economy is close to a recession. I don't think we're on the verge of a recession. But this guy is clumsy enough that, you know, they may actually not do a fiscal expansion, actually cut spending in several places, and they might tighten monetary policy. So I hope that's not the case, but there is a great degree of uncertainty at this point. It's not very clear what's the path going forward. So again, you know, I think you're absolutely right. You know, we have to renegotiate, and there is a space to make gains and in terms of the quality of the jobs. That's the important thing. But on the other hand, you know, in the quality of the jobs, regulation is an important thing, and in that area, he's going in the wrong direction too. So it's going to be a very complicated, period.
Yeah. So if I'm hearing you right, you don't think we're heading towards recession, but all of these missteps could stumble us right into it by, you know, freezing government spending and by, you know, cutting regulations and causing possibly a trade war and doing some of these other things. We could end up in the trouble just because of his being inept.
yeah, a regressive tax cut that it's, you know, worsening income distribution. I mean, firms at the end of the day are going to hire more people if demand is growing. But, you know, if you a regressive tax is not a particularly helpful thing for, so people are already squeezed. So, and you know, that explains some of the anger and why they voted for him. And people, you know, are willing to, you know, a lot of the working class people are willing to give him some degree of space to see if he's going to implement these policies he suggested. But all that I've seen is on foreign policy and immigration, the economic stuff. I mean, today the discussion is that he's going to roll back Dodd-Frank. So that's a terrible thing. I mean, Dodd-Frank was mild as it was. It's essentially telling banks to keep higher reserves. They're still incredibly leveraged. They can still do everything they were doing. And the other thing that they're saying is that they finally, you know, Obama had passed a very sensible rule that, you know, suggested that financial advisors have to act in the, you know, as fiduciary sort of,
right.
You know, they have to act in the best interest of their clients, which, you know, you would imagine that that's a given, you know.
No, they act in their own best interest. Look, if I can get more money out of you, Mateus, better for me.
So, but, and there are talks that this rule is going to be eliminated, you know, so those are the things I hear from, they're going to fleece, you know, people, you know, retirees and, you know, and people saving. I'm getting more skeptical as you know, time passes that we're getting some of the good, the things that I told you the first week after the election, you know, that, well, if the offer seems like we're going to, you know, regulate pharmaceutical firms and control their prices of medication, if we are going to, you know, roll back trade deals and bring back manufacturing jobs, if you're going to do big spending on infrastructure, Democrats should work with him.
Certainly.
And they should.
Yep.
But, you know, good Lord, start doing some of this at least, because nothing is out of the paper. So the stuff that, you know, he has been bringing up to the table, and those are the things that the people in the Rust Belt voted for him. So I don't think that here in Pennsylvania, the big thing was, pro-life sort of, you know, Supreme Court, yeah, you know, judge that, you know, drove people to vote for him. So it was jobs and the quality of the jobs and pay. And so
last question I've got on this then, because, you know, you brought up infrastructure and that's something that he's talked about. You know, I know during the campaign he said a trillion dollar, you know, thing. My concern with what I'm seeing, and it isn't a lot, but it seems like we're going to pay for a boatload of infrastructure that, with the worst possible financial mechanisms, almost payday lending for infrastructure that eventually the oligarchs are going to own, and we're going to pay for it.
Yes, it's private-public partnerships and that sort of stuff. I've been reading about that too, and I'm concerned about that. So, that's the sort of thing that Democrats, if he tries to pass these things in Congress, you know, in the budget, you know, they should fight back.
Absolutely, because here's the thing. If the oligarchs own the streets, when we go to march in the streets, we're going to have to pay them.
Yes. No, you're going to have to pay tolls to move from one place to the other, so to use the bridge. And if not, so the bridge will be for the wealthy, and everybody else will stay,
you get the
on
dirt
the
road
of the river.
There you go.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's the danger, and you know, and it's not surprising. So, I mean, we knew that a lot of these promises were false. So that as we discussed before the election, with all the problems of neoliberal Democrats, it was still better to have a Democrat in the White House than Trump. So I buy it. No means I think that Trump is going to be good just because he is right on some things like NAFTA and infrastructure spending.
Now, like I said, blind squirrel found a nut, and I will be with him on those. Everything else we'll fight. Mateus, I appreciate you taking time for us. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you.
Always great talking with you, Mateus Verdango, professor of economics there at Bucknell. Check out the blog, nakedkeynesianism.blogspot.com. We've got a link at the ricksmithshow.com. Just click on Mateus' name. Take you right there. Quick break. right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Fight until the end. And we're not gonna break tonight. And we're not gonna bend. Some say the union's down, but I asked around, and everybody said, this is a union town. A union town. All down the line. This is a union town. A union town. All down the line. And if they come to strip our rights away, we'll give them hell every time. This is a union town. A union town. All down the line.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg.